The reading this morning is 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 20 and 27 to 31. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. God has placed in the church first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. Amen.
Pray for this man as he preaches. Pray for you? Yeah. Lord, we know this man. We love this man. We love what he does for you. And we know that he brings your word. We ask now, Holy Spirit, that you will rest on him. That you will take over. That you'll be within him, through him. And that we will hear this morning, "Thus saith the Lord." Amen.
Yeah. Good morning. Haven't you enjoyed the good weather? I have. Did watch the film The Passion the other night. The first time I saw it, I didn't think much of it. The second time round, very moving. A little excessive in parts, the whipping of Jesus. The Romans allocated the number of lashes you had, and well betide if someone went beyond it. They did not lash Jesus in the front. But having said that, very moving film makes you realise what Christ did for each one of us. Now we're going to be looking at, we can get it wrong sometimes, but before I go into it, let's just say that I show you a more excellent way. Love operates the gifts, and the gifts are expressions of love. And if we see it that way, the gifts are terra firma bound, but love is eternal. So gifts within the body of Christ are by and large terra firma bound. And if we are to use the gifts, they must be used according to the love of God's heart. And if they're used for any other motive, they will be useless, because God will one day want to know why we did it. So it's not the use of the gifts, but the motive behind the use of the gifts. But very often, we so underestimate ourselves that we never even get to a place where we use the gift, let alone why. So we're going to look at why we get it wrong sometimes. And One thing I would say is, and I speak to myself, we get into a mindset. And in Romans 12:2, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. So we have to have a renewed mind to come when we see 1 Corinthians 12, that it's not talking about the early church. It was. It's not talking about the church that has gone before. It's also talking about the church today. Worldwide, it's talking to Beulah. It's talking to you. It's talking to me. So we have to apply it. We have to put flesh on the bones. Otherwise, it's just words, and words in themselves without actions are dead. 3 points then. One, a correct evaluation of Scripture. We don't just pull out what we like and pretend we don't with the bits we don't. We have to take it correctly in a correct overview. Two, a balanced expectation of our place in the body of Christ. And I think that it's very easy to underestimate our place in the body of Christ. And three, the glorious exercise of our gifting. In 2 Timothy 1:6-7, Paul says to young Timothy, don't forget, it says, he said, do not let them despise you for your age. But he also says to Timothy, stir up the gift that's within you. So you've got to stir, fan, and ignite. Now, when I was a young Christian, I'd be about two years old in the Lord, and I was in a church that moved in the nine gifts of the Spirit. So we did see miracles and all sorts of things. But I was very young, very immature, and I'd give a gift, and I'd be very theatrical. You know, it'd be all arms and legs, and because I was just young. Now, what does the minister do about that? Well, I'll tell you what the minister did. He waited for a while and allowed me to make all these. And then one day he came up behind me and he whispered in my ear and he said, John, he said, it is wonderful to see you stepping out in the gifts, but we can do without the amateur dramatics. Now, do you see what he was doing? He was stirring up. He was fanning the gift, but he wasn't crushing it. And so often, I like the way he's doing it, I'm not listening to that, and off you go, and the poor bloke gets so discouraged he never uses it again. Well, that's not no good, is it? But at the same time, encourage it. But you don't encourage a young person full of enthusiasm but no wisdom to go off the rails because they get a little bit full of themselves. Not a novice, lest being puffed up with Satan they be fool. No, we are to do both correction and encouragement. And that's what he did to me. And I'm very grateful. So it says, when we come together in 1 Corinthians 14:26, every one of you has a psalm, a doctrine, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. Every one of you. It isn't saying, oh, some have it and some don't. It says every one of you. And by the way, it's not saying that you know, not everyone speaks in tongues. He's just saying, not every meeting you will speak in a tongue. It's corporate worship. Sometimes you will come and you don't feel you're going to give a tongue. Other times you do. That's just a correction. People who love to use it, that we don't have to speak in tongues. Yes, you do. It's a gift for the church. God doesn't discriminate between one person and another. He is absolutely overall generous to every member of the body of Christ. Now, what stops people using stepping out in gifts? I'm not talking about the nine gifts only. I'm talking about the manifold expressions of the body of Christ, which is every type of gift you can think of. Well, it's wrong teaching, misunderstanding, fear, pride, mindset, ignorance, disinterest, and suspicion. These are all aspects of the human psyche that can prevent us stepping into our gifting. A lot of it, alas, is wrong doctrine, wrong teaching, and it's teaching from somebody's biased. If anything of the Word of God traps you into saying you can't do it, it's not the Word of God. That's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is all encompassing. The Spirit of God has come that He might release us. And I have come that you might have life and have it in great abundance. And that includes everything within the body of Christ. Well, the right attitude is being open-hearted, expectant, hungry, trusting, believing, receptive, obedient, and humble. These are the characteristics that will bring us to an open heart. And I think that sometimes we can put ourselves into a cul-de-sac because our mindset is so strong. Let us be people who are open to the Holy Spirit. Not open to every wind of doctrine, but just open to the Holy Spirit. Let's see what He wants. Well, the first point then is a correct evaluation of Scripture. And in Romans 12:3 it says, don't think more highly of yourselves, but soberly in measure of faith that God has given you. Now, there was somebody called Demetrius who caused a lot of trouble in the early church because he had a very high opinion of himself and he was trying to usurp the authorities of the leaders. And it does not mean that you sit back and you say, well, I would like to be a leader, and you sort of muscle in. And God hasn't called you to be a leader, but you're muscling in. And you've got a high opinion of yourself. Jesus said, he that would be great amongst you, let him be a servant. And if you cannot serve the church of Christ, you have no right to expect to be a leader of Christ. And Demetrius had none of that. He just wanted to usurp, caused a lot of problems. Giftings used in the wrong spirit can cause a lot of problem. Giftings used in the right spirit, the Holy Spirit, the love of Christ, can build the body of Christ up. And the problem is many think little of their gift or don't think that they have a gift at all. And every part of the body of Christ is important for the function of the body. And often people can, for many, many reasons, I'm not judging anyone, there are many reasons why people have a low expectation of themselves and their gifting, but it's not recognizing that Paul says that we are a body, and a body has hands, fingers, eyes, ears, feet, toes, you name it. Well, an eye can't start saying, well, I can't do anything with the body of Christ because I ain't a foot. Well, of course it ain't a foot, it's an eye. Well, if you're an eye, what does an eye do? Do you understand what I'm saying? What are you doing? Find out where your place is in the body of Christ and then start to function in an eye or a foot, whatever you are. But no, we sort of think, oh, you know. So understand that God doesn't clone people to function in the body of Christ. I'm not an automaton. I'm a person. And God wants us to act from our humanity. And He speaks to us through our humanity. And we gift into the church through our humanity. And often it's what you enjoy doing, what you are. And I was saying this morning that those of you that know me at all, if I said to you that I can administrate in the church far better than Erica, I wonder if you'd believe me. But if I said to you that Erica can get up on stage and speak, I wonder if you'd believe me. Now, that is a couple that have different giftings. I couldn't do what she does. She can't do what I do. You might have something I can't do and Erica can't do. See, it's recognising your body, your function in the body. Now, don't underestimate our value. The body can't balance without a little toe. I'm told with good authority that if you cut the toe off, you won't be able to balance. You can't walk. And, of course, if you got rid of your feet, you wouldn't walk. And it's understanding that the most smallest member is therefore the most important. And sometimes the parts of the body that are of least importance are the most important. And you never see the brain, by the way. It's all hidden away in the head. But without the brain, nothing would work. And we're all priests. So what we're saying here is We serve God and not ourselves, and we are all priests unto God. Now, when Moses, who I admire and love old Moses, and he used to go up on his mountain and meet God, and God would speak to him, and then he'd come down off the mountain and say, right, this is what God has said. And then the children of Israel would listen, and they would, you know. And then you had your priesthood, and only the Levitical priesthood could do the ministering to the children of Israel. Only those who are the tribe of Levi. You have your high priest who go into the Holy of Holies once a year. It's all the priests. Well, guess what? When Christ died and he rose again, the temple veil was rent in two. And what did that mean? You had the holy place, and then you had the Holy of Holies. And it was split by this big veil. And it was so strong, no one could break it. And it meant that only the priest could go into the presence of God and minister to him. Well, when it rent in two, it meant that the body of Christ is now a priesthood, and they can go into the Holy of Holies, and they could minister to God. We do not need a priesthood. It is not all one person. It isn't some sort of I've been to theology college, and I've got a credibility. Yes, you need them. Of course you need leaders in the church, but they are not the ministry of the church. You are. It's every member of the body of Christ. And I'm afraid that one person cannot function with. Have you ever seen those musicians? What is it? And they've got a drum and they're doing it all together. It looks ridiculous. He might be clever, but it's ridiculous. You get somebody who perfects in a particular instrument, it's beautiful. But it takes a lifetime to perfect in an instrument. It takes you a lifetime to perfect the gift that God's given you. But I will say this, that if you step out in one gift, it eventually could overlap into another. I was talking to a lady this morning, came up and said, thank you very much for that encouragement. I know I got the gift of encouragement. So as we talked, she said, of course I can talk to non-believers, and I encourage them. And I says, do you not see what your gift is doing? You've got this gift of encouragement, and you're actually witnessing to them. So your encouragement gift is now going out, spilling over into evangelism. So your gift is, don't label people. Don't label yourself. Your gifting can start small and develop into other things. But you have to recognise that God has called you. Point two, a balanced expectation of your place in the body of Christ. We don't all have the same function in the body of Christ. Comparisons are belittling or futile. Romans 12, 4 and 5. We do have different functions. So therefore, to compare yourself with somebody else is belittling to you, and it's futile because it gets you nowhere, and it's dishonouring to God. What we're saying there is that comparisons can kill. And I remember as a young Christian, I used to look up in awe at a lot of them are beautiful old saints, all gone to heaven now. But I used to be in awe of some of their giftings. Until eventually, as I got older, I realised that I also could develop in giftings like they could. And we got to see that we must not belittle ourselves in the body of Christ. We must not belittle ourselves in our mindset. We mustn't belittle ourselves in God's calling. It's possible to be intimidated by other giftings and retreat as being spectators. And we are not spectators, we are functioning members of the body of Christ. And I'll give you a story. A couple went to a minister, and they said to him, we want to join your church, but we don't want to do anything. We just want to be members and sit in the pew. He says, I don't think this is quite the church for you. I'll tell you what, I've got just a church for you. If you go out, turn left, go up, you know, Peter's Road and into John's Road, and keep going and you'll come to a church. I think it's just for you. So off they go, turn in Peter's Road, up John's Road, right at the top. And there is a derelict church. a derelict church building. He's getting his point over. You cannot be a spectator in the body of Christ. You've got to be a governing, active member. Otherwise, if the finger says, well, because I'm only a finger and I'm not a mouth or a foot, I ain't going to do anything. So the whole body goes and functions and it's carrying about a dead finger. And a dead finger eventually rots. And eventually it will affect the body. Get it? We affect the body. Don't care who you are. You can affect the body just by your attitude and your behaviour. And we want to be positive in our attitude and behaviour. God is a God of partial, a God who is not impartial. Neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:28. So what is he saying here? He's saying that in God's eyes there is no Jew or Gentile, there is no slave or free, and there is no male or female. I will say that again. There is no male or female. Did you know that when Paul went on his missionary journeys, he went all alone and did everything on his own? No, he did not. He took a whole load of giftings with him. An entourage. And do you know that some of them were women? And did you know that they had powerful giftings? I know a church, or churches, that the only place a woman can have any place of honour is if she's married to a leader. Rubbish! And I'm going to say rubbish, rubbish, rubbish. God can use men and women, small or free, fat or thin, black or white. I don't care what your dress is like, what your background's like. One in Christ, Jesus can move through you. But are you going to let him? Are you going to let him? We are all equal to equal in the gifts. So don't downgrade yourself, but be recognition of what God can do first. Don't sideline ourselves into a cul-de-sac. So busy comparing ourselves against others, feeling of inadequacy paralyzes the gifts. If you compare yourself, you will paralyze your gift and you'll become useless both to yourself and to God. Not that anyone is useless in God, but your function will be compromised. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Colossians 3:23. So we are our gifting, so do it heartily. Now Jesus said, for me to do the will of God is my meat and drink. And I'm not knocking it, I'm just giving you an example, a recent one. I tried to do the turning, and I went out on the streets 2 days, and I tried to do it heartily, but my heart wasn't in it. I tried to do it heartily, but it's not my gifting. And I got quite irritated, because people kept shunning me and telling me to clear off out of it. And that is not good for John. I don't like people telling me to clear off out of it. And I had to get my heart right. And I didn't enjoy it. So God is saying, John, you get out there and do it. No, he isn't. Because it isn't my meat and drink. And I don't enjoy doing it. Well, don't do it then. But what do you enjoy? That's your meat and drink. So look at the body of Christ. See where your part is. If you, oh, I like that. Oh, I'm enjoying that. Well, I ain't going to get envious because somebody is doing something I can't, because I'm doing something they can't. It's all unity. It's all functioning in the body of Christ. And I ain't an eye. I'm a mouth. Big mouth. Your little toe, your little thumb, well, recognise it. But get out of this stupid attitude that somehow God asks us to do things we hate. I once said to somebody, if God called me to be a missionary, I'd say no. And if God called me to be a missionary and I had to eat all their funny foods, I wouldn't. And they were, ooh. But somebody said, well, he ain't going to call you to be a missionary because you don't want it. And he ain't going to call you to try all their silly foods because you don't want it. He'll ask me to do what I enjoy doing. Because to be in the body of Christ and to do it wholeheartedly, you've got to do it with joy. You've got to enjoy it. Otherwise, how can you be wholehearted? Do you see my point? Right, point three, and we'll finish on this. Glorious exercise. By grace, exercise the gift given to us in proportion to our faith. Romans 12 and 28. And we're just imperfect conduits. But we've got to exercise the gift in proportion to our faith. Well, I haven't got much faith, so I can't use my gift. It doesn't mean that. When I was a little Christian, I had no faith and very, very little gifting. Believe it or not, when I got converted, I was the sort of person that was so shy, if you looked at me, I'd blush deeply. Isn't that amazing? Do you know what God called me to do? Teach and preach. Isn't that extraordinary? How did that begin then? I used to go to an open air in Charing Cross, did it for 10 years, and Leicester Square, Speaker's Corner, you name it. And in Charing Cross, that in the 60s this was, near the Players Theatre, stand on this little box, because you'd do it in those days, and you'd start preaching. And I did it for a year, standing there, and people would go, go on, have a go, John. Have a go, John. No, thank you. Well, after a year, somebody said, go on, John, have a go. So got up in the box. Straight away, I found God had given me that gift of communication. And two young men, you could get crowds then in those days. Two young boys, I'd say about 23, they stood there amongst the crowd in front of me and they were laughing and mocking. And as I began to speak, the Spirit of God came on me and they were under strict conviction of sin. I hadn't said a thing to them. You could see their whole demeanour change. Their faces went quite worried and under conviction. Where did that come from? It came from I tried to do something I thought I couldn't do. Found I could do it. Still didn't have the faith to exercise it. But each time I got up, my faith grew. My gifting developed. And after 10 years, it was getting proficient. But it doesn't start. No gift starts, oh, I've got a gift and that's it. You have to develop it. But you've got to start somewhere. And God gives opportunities. And of course, Paul was an apostle. Barnabas, Erica tells me I've got to finish. So I will try to say, I'll just say this bit then. If I say no more, I'll just say this bit. Barnabas. Now, Paul was the great mission. I'm going to finish, and then I will finish. I've got to say what I want to say. Right, Barnabas. You've got Paul and Barnabas. You've got Paul, who I admire, but I think me and Paul wouldn't necessarily get on, because I think he'd be a bit bossy, a little bit visionary for me. But there he is. He's off on his journeys. He's got Barnabas with him. And then Barnabas and Paul were taking with them a guy called John Mark, who was related to Barnabas. And John Mark, over the course of the missionary journey, got a little bit naughty. He wasn't coming up to Paul's expectation of him. So they stopped and Paul said to Barnabas, well, I want to ditch John Mark. He's no good. Want to ditch him. Now, what Paul was doing is he's a man of vision and he's got to go. He's got to get the work done. So I'm not blaming him. I'm not blaming him. But Barnabas said to Paul, no, I'm sorry, but we can't get rid of John Mark. That is not the right attitude. We are his leaders and we've got to bring him along. Paul says, no, he's hindering me. I'm off. So a sharp disagreement. Paul went off. Barnabas stayed. He then ministered to John Mark. Doesn't say how long, but he obviously did minister to him, and he did what that minister did to me. Got up behind him and said, now, John Mark, it's a little bit naughty what you're doing, but you know you do have gifting. And I'd like to encourage it. Do you know what happened? And this is very important for you to see this. This is how powerful the gift of encouragement is. Later on, Paul, you'll read it in three of his letters. He said, blah, 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 blah. And by the way, could you bring John Mark because he's good for my ministry? Did he do that? No. Who did? Barnabas did. What did he do? He encouraged him. He nurtured him. He didn't rubbish him. And because of that, John Mark was good for Paul's ministry. And three times he said it. So we got to see that. Let's encourage each one to love and good works. Encourage each other. Don't put your mindset into bring you into a cul-de-sac. You have got gifting. What do you enjoy doing in the body of Christ? And if you haven't found it yet, what do you actually like doing? Get started. Nurture the gift. Don't go after things that you want to be like somebody else and you're not called to it. It's what you like doing. It's what you are. And God is saying to you this morning, find out what your gifting is and develop it and let it mature. And as you mature it, it will come to stature and you'll be able to bless many, many people. And I've got to say it, I was a mixed up, screwed up madman. And because I'm now normal, why? Because of ministers. Ministers ministered to me, but it was because of people in the body of Christ. And they are so many, I can't mention them. But every one of them contributed to my life, which made me the person I am today. And in eternity, I am going to thank God before the throne of God. Your life touches people. And don't think it doesn't. Touch it for the glory of God. Touch it for the deliverance and blessing of others. Because that's why you're in the body of Christ. Lord Jesus, we thank you for people like Barnabas, son of encouragement. We thank you, Lord, that you do not discriminate between men and women. You don't discriminate because somebody is uneducated and another person is. You don't discriminate because somebody has social graces and others don't. Lord, you can use any person in the body of Christ. I pray now that you will show each one of us here today what is our function in the body of Christ. What do we enjoy doing? What indeed are we already doing? Let us develop it and mature it. And we could find that that gift crosses over into another gift and another one. And we're operating in three gifts. Lord, anoint the body that we become a body. Amen.
Bless you, John.